You are listening to an exclusive podcast on Money Control. Editor's Pick of the Day. A Money Control exclusive.
Well, the historic day is almost upon us, just a day away. American President Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, the dear leader of North Korea, are meeting today in Singapore. And that is our editor's pick of the day. My name is Rakesh. You're listening to Money Control.
Editor's Pick of the Day.
Singapore fling for Trump and Kim.
A Money Control exclusive.
The world has been eagerly waiting for this meeting, well, looking forward to it at any rate. It's an unusual event that has come to pass in an unusual fashion. Kim Jong-un tested a nuclear missile, threatened America, Trump tweeted that he has a bigger nuclear button, and next thing you know, Kim was getting pally with South Korea, then another round of playing hard to get, and now he's finally in Singapore to meet Trump. While the American president looks to dial things down to the safety of the status quo, Kim Jong-un is said to be looking for legitimate recognition as a leader on the world stage. No more Dennis Rodman, no more pop culture approval from common folks. Kim wants to be a world leader. The historic meeting between a sitting American president and a North Korean leader comes in the wake of, to put it mildly, a disappointing G7 summit for Trump, where by all accounts, Trump was a petulant president, not giving in to the exhortations of his peers and world leaders. So much so that even genteel Canada went back and said they would impose equivalent tariffs on American products. Impending global trade war notwithstanding, Kim and Trump are meeting in Singapore to lay the groundwork, or at least try to, for a reshaping of the security environment in Asia. Whether the talks are just talk or will have some substance is a question that will be answered only a little later. Trump has said he hopes to win a legacy-making deal with North Korea to give up their nuclear weapons. His supporters are already chanting Nobel, Nobel during his rallies. Complete denuclearization, or something close to that, is what Trump hopes to achieve. Tall ask? Well, no pressure for Donald Trump, though. He tempered expectations, stating that this meeting is more of a get-to-know-each-other kind of session than anything else, and that these topics will take more than a single meeting to get to a final decision. He then claimed it'll take him 1 minute to figure out if Kim Jong-un is serious about peace. And what preparations has he himself undergone before this meeting? In characteristic style, not much, because he said he did not need much preparation. Kim Jong-un landed in Singapore and was quick to thank his hosts. He went on to say, and I quote, "The entire world is watching the historic summit between North Korea and the United States of America, and thanks to your sincere efforts, we were able to complete the preparations for the historic summit." He was, of course, talking to Prime Minister Lee Hsien Loong through an interpreter. Many experts believe North Korea is on the brink of being able to target the entire United States mainland with its nuclear-armed missiles. While there remains a fair bit of skepticism that North Korean leader will give up his nukes, after all, they are what bring him a larger presence on the world stage, there is some hope that diplomacy can replace the animosity between the United States and the North Koreans. Lindsay Ford, Director of Political Security Affairs for the Asia Society Policy Institute, went on to say, and I quote, "It's hard to see how a small nation like North Korea could ever garner this kind of international attention had it not been for their nuclear threat," unquote. North Korea has been in the news for the right reasons of late, if we ignore the constant threats. The exaggerated peaceful overtures to South Korea was almost India-Pakistan-level mawkishness. However, media reports indicate North Korea is unlikely to jeopardize its stand on the basis of one summit. Some reports mention that they will be asking for complete denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula, the exact meaning of which has not been completely understood yet. It could mean that should the North denuclearize, it expects every force on the peninsula to do the same, including the American troops in the Korean Peninsula. The point to note here is that the US has a military pact with South Korea. The Mutual Defense Treaty between the United States and the Republic of Korea was signed in October 1953, 2 months after an armistice that halted the Korean War. Why? Because the United States had deployed tactical nuclear weapons in South Korea until 1991 and continues to extend the so-called nuclear umbrella, same as Japan, to protect South Korea. The Atlantic reported last year that while few believe Kim Jong-un would launch an unprovoked nuclear strike, most seasoned Korea watchers believe he would no doubt use his arsenal once it became clear he was about to lose any war that broke out. As this risk increases, noted The Atlantic, Washington will find it increasingly difficult to avoid reassessing the country's multi-decade alliance with South Korea. The threat to American civilians will be magnified to grotesque proportions simply because Washington continues to promise to help South Korea. So what is the scenario that could play out if we were to take a real politics-style look at the events? Some old Korea hands and analysts say that in the face of a US withdrawal, both South Korea and Japan might begin considering developing their own nuclear and missile programs. And boom goes the denuclearization program. The Atlantic article ventured into conjecture, claiming that in the event of a reduced American presence in Northeast Asia, China would emerge the big winner. Beijing almost certainly would offer Seoul an alliance of its own, further undermining America's regional web of alliances, likely tipping the Philippines and Malaysia fully into the Chinese camp. In the backdrop of such threats to the world order that we have today, Trump, who declared sweeping economic sanctions to force North Korea to abandon its atomic arsenal, has played down the likelihood of a rapid solution to the standoff. He said, and I quote, "At a minimum, I do believe at least we'll have met each other. Hopefully, we will have liked each other. And then we'll start that process," unquote. Reuters reported that a senior US official cautioned against hopes for a breakthrough like the formal end to the Korean War of 1950 to 1953. The official went on to say, and I quote, "A peace treaty comes way down the road." Which could indeed be true. Tae Yong-ho, Pyongyang's deputy ambassador to London until he defected to South Korea 2 years ago, wrote in his memoir that Pyongyang's goal has been recognition as a de facto nuclear state, like India and Pakistan. Mr. Tae wrote, adding that North Korea's leadership feared that international sanctions would result in considerable damage if left in place. He said, and I quote, "The 2018 peace initiative by Kim Jong-un is to present the world with a fait accompli." As we await the meeting tomorrow morning, it remains unclear how much progress has been made in narrowing the gap. Pyongyang prefers a phased approach to disarmament in exchange for concessions from the US and others. Washington, on the other hand, wants a rapid surrender of North Korea's nuclear capabilities. So it remains unclear how much we have been able to narrow the gap in the interim. Mike Pompeo, who is now the US Secretary of State after Rex Tillerson, visited North Korea twice this spring to discuss the parameters of a possible deal with Kim. In May, North Korea turned over 3 US citizens who had been detained for more than a year. And at the end of May, it blew up the site of the country's 6 nuclear tests in a show of good faith. But the veracity of these actions were questioned by independent experts. However, North Korea has continued to defy sanctions through ship-to-ship oil transfers while conducting hacking operations against South Korea. Tensions on both sides prompted Donald Trump to call off his meeting with Kim in May, most directly after a pair of statements published by North Korean state media that took aim at remarks by Vice President Mike Pence and National Security Advisor John Bolton. North Korea has lashed out at South Korean conservative politicians as well as journalists who have questioned Pyongyang's motives in seeking dialogue, but has since steered clear of any attacks on Trump's advisors. But as the world watches the summit and tries to gauge possible outcomes, the fear that bad behavior might just be rewarded seems to be gaining traction. Michael McFaul, who was the United States ambassador to Russia from 2012 to 2014, tweeted, and we quote, "Tomorrow, the entire world will be treating Kim Jong-un as a global leader, on stage with the leader of the most powerful country in the world. Human rights, assassinations abroad, etc., will unlikely be mentioned. That is a tremendous achievement for North Korean diplomacy." End quote.
Editor's pick of the day. Singapore Fling for Trump and Kim.
A Money Control exclusive.
What happens at the summit? Will it be love at first sight between two characters of international diplomacy, that is Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, or will it lead to yet another soap opera style of negotiations between the two and some hissy fits thrown along the way? We'll find out all of that as the meeting takes place tomorrow in Singapore.
This is an exclusive podcast on Money Control. Editor's pick of the day. A Money Control exclusive.